Very good morning. Greet you all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, this morning we will begin our study of the book of Ephesians. Not a very long book, just 6 chapters, but really a book packed full with doctrinal truths, many important doctrines to be covered, but many also very practical spiritual applications that can be learned from this book. This study will probably take us through the rest of this year and also into next year, as we look through the writings of the Apostle Paul to the church at Ephesus. This morning we will cover on the topic, blessed with all spiritual blessings. Blessed with all spiritual blessings. Now the church at Ephesus was truly, you can say, a very blessed church. The Lord had spent a lot of time guiding them, teaching them, helping them. He has sent the Apostle Paul to start this church. It was probably founded towards the end of his second missionary journey. He stopped by Ephesus just for a short while. And he preached in the synagogues, he preached amongst them, and they received his message very well. And they said, please come back, Paul. And so he did. On his third missionary journey, that would be the place where he spent most of his time. More than 2 years he spent teaching, preaching in the city of Ephesus. And we are told that during his time there, the church grew mightily, the word of God grew, prevailed, so much so that not just in the city of Ephesus, but in the region all around, they came, they heard about the Lord Jesus Christ. He set up a school there teaching the Bible, and he was teaching every day. He will later tell them and testify of how he went daily house to house, testifying both to the Jews and the Gentiles of repentance and faith towards the Lord Jesus Christ. And we also read of an incident where they gathered together and all the people of the city, all those that become Christians, they brought all these curious arts and paraphernalia that they used in their idolatrous and superstitious worship. They burned it up. It was a city that was truly turned, transformed by the word of God. So much so that those people who practiced idolatry in the city, there were a lot of silversmiths that were selling idols. They were so angry with Paul because their business was gone. It was a city that was mightily turned, changed by the word of God. And so the Bible tells us that so mightily grew the word of God there and prevailed. And so they were blessed with the opportunity to be witnessed and taught by the Apostle Paul. And he went on the rest of his third missionary journey. Just before going back to Jerusalem, he stopped there for one final time. You can read of this all in Acts chapter 20. And he told them that I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. He says, while I was in your midst, I taught you everything that I know concerning the word of God. So rich. Rich, of course, not in monetary sense. In fact, they burned the things that were valuable in the eyes of the world. But they were rich in terms of the spiritual blessings that they had received. And now a few years later, as Paul was now in Rome, he was writing from prison, and as he wrote this epistle to them, one of the objectives was that he wanted them to know and understand and realize really the magnitude of the blessings that they have from God. And that is how he began this epistle, telling them that you must bless God. Why? Because he has blessed you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And we realize that this applies, of course, not just to the church at Ephesus, but it applies to all of us as well. All of us who have received these same spiritual blessings, all of us who have heard of the Lord Jesus Christ, all of us who have repented of our sins and have faith in Him, all of us who have this promise of eternal salvation, we are also just as rich as the people at Ephesus. And so that is one thing that all believers must understand as well. That we are truly very blessed. And then what must our response be? And so as we go through these few verses of the introduction of the book of Ephesians, what we want to know is to really learn more about the nature of all these blessings that we have been blessed with. And also, of course, how then ought we to respond? Now if we were to ask any one of you here, are you happy with your life? Are we blessed? And yes, you know, at the back of our minds, as Christian, we know, okay, the right response to say that, yes, I'm blessed. But is that something that we really believe in our heart of hearts? Is that really a state of being that we are constantly in to say that, yes, life is good. Life is blessed because I have the Lord Jesus Christ. Or more often than not, do we have this mindset to think that, well, okay, life is not bad, but you know, if we were to add all these other things, then maybe life would be better. And all these other things, of course, will be very wide-ranging. Depends on our needs and our interests and our wants. Depends on what we see as the path toward happiness. And if our hearts and if our minds are not attuned to the mind of Christ, and we do not live according to the Word of God, then, you know, our desires will be, well, for lack of a better term, carnal, isn't it? Worldly, earthly, temporal. And so then we will go down this line of thought that says, well, if only I would have these other physical, earthly things, then maybe life will be better. For now, I think life is not bad. But the way that Paul puts it, and the way that Paul wants us to understand our life, is to say that no, life is not just average or not bad. No, life is blessed with all spiritual blessings. In fact, as a Christian, we must realize that we are richer than anyone in this world. Why? Because we have the Lord Jesus Christ. We have been blessed with all spiritual blessings. And that is one of the themes that is brought out through this book of Ephesians. This word riches is used a number of times throughout this book. The word inheritance is also used a number of times throughout this book. Filled, fullness, all these ideas that rotate around the depth of the wealth that we have. Blessed with all spiritual blessings. And that is something Paul really wanted the Christians at Ephesus to know and understand. Now, it's not that they were not wealthy in the spiritual sense. It's not that they didn't realize it. They knew. They were a pretty mature church. They knew their doctrines. They knew the Word of God. Many of the things that Paul write to them in the course of this epistle are really very deep and truths that really take time to meditate and understand. But he wanted them to go deeper, further, to learn, know, and more. And twice in this epistle, he'll make a prayer in the end of chapter 1 and the end of chapter 3. After he shares with them certain doctrinal truths, he says, I really pray that you will understand, that you will have this spiritual wisdom and knowledge and understanding to understand what is the height and breadth and depth of the love of Christ, of the power of Christ. He wanted them to realize that they were no paupers, no. No matter what state that they were in the eyes of the world, in terms of their spiritual lives, they were very, very rich. And so as Christians, we must understand these same concepts as well. Now the word blessing or blessed, blessed, is a word that is thrown around quite a lot in our Christian circles, isn't it? I mean, there is a wide range of meaning toward this word. Every day we ask the Lord to bless us, right? And in this verse, we also bless the Lord. There are passages that tell us, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is in me, bless His holy name. We praise God from whom all blessings flow. But at the same time, we also bless one another. In what sense? Well, sometimes we use this word a bit loosely and carelessly even, where in our minds, this word seems to just speak of any good thing, anything positive, well, that's a blessing. Anything negative, well, that's a curse. Right? We tend to think of things in that way. So if we have a promotion, if we recover from a sickness, if we are in good health, if we are given a sudden windfall of wealth, well, that is a blessing. If there is a certain calamity that comes our way, well, where there is a sudden loss, or there is a sudden illness, a death in the family, oh, that's a curse. Oh, you know, it's a negative thing. It's something that we don't want, and it's not anything that we would thank God for. Sometimes we think of it in this way. But is that really the nature of what the Bible sees blessings as? Well, we have to study further. And oftentimes also this word is a little bit, you can say, abused in our current lingo. A couple of months ago when, you know, one of our neighbors found out that we are Christian. Well, we are having a gathering in our house and we are singing hymns. And so they came and said, oh, you know, we heard this singing and I'm very happy to know that, well, a Christian family has moved in. And so they said, you know, we came up here so that we can bless you. We want to bless your house. Okay, so, and I was wondering, what is it? I mean, what is going to be happen? What will happen? And he said, oh, no, we just want to bless you. Okay, and then they left. What does it mean? What does it mean for a person to bless another? What does it mean for God to bless us? What does it mean for us to bless God? And we have to understand the way that the Bible speaks of blessing. Now in the Bible, there are actually two main words for the word blessing. The first one is the word that is used in the Beatitudes, right? There is this whole list of blessed are they that thirst after hunger and thirst after righteousness' sake. Blessed are they that are poor in spirit. Blessed are they that are this and that. Well, that word more describes a state of being, right? The state of being blessed. And so it speaks of those who have received blessings, and the word actually just simply means happy, right? Happy, of course, not just in the worldly sense, but happy because of the favor that's been bestowed upon you from God. Now, of course, we know that it is spiritual in nature, right? And so we can describe as being blessed. Well, what does it mean to be blessed? Well, it means that I've received the favor of God and I'm happy, happy in the spiritual sense. I have felt that I'm drawn closer to the Lord. I'm walking in Him and therefore I am blessed. Right? And we know through the list of Beatitudes, it really does not speak of just physical things that we receive from God. No, it is spiritual. But there is another word, and that is the word that we find being used here in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3. Alright, and this speaks more of the action than the state. Okay, it's the word that actually we get the English word eulogy from. Eulogy. Right, really has two simple words taken from it. Eu meaning good and logos, which, well, is word. A good word. It can also be seen as a good will. Like God and His good will upon us. His good favor that He bestows upon us. And that is a blessing as well, isn't it? So it emphasizes more on the action. And so what we are told here is that we bless God. We can do that. Right? Goodwill towards Him. We praise Him. We worship Him. We thank Him. Because of what He has done toward us. And the blessings, the goodwill, and the good favor that He bestows upon us. Alright? And that is what we can do to one another. Good. Of course, again, in the spiritual sense. When we edify one another. When we draw one another closer to the Lord, that is a blessing, isn't it? And if you think about it, this and then will apply to a wide range of things that we do in our interaction one with another and our interaction with God as well. So that is what Paul is trying to emphasize in these first few verses here. He's telling us now, understand what God has done for you, spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And in return, in response to that, we bless Him also. We praise Him, we worship Him, we live a life for Him. Because we understand what has been done to us. And so that is what biblical blessing is all about. Now as we come to this passage itself, there are a few things relating to these blessings that we want to understand. The first thought they want to see is really, what is the source of this blessing? The source of blessing. When we talk about blessed with all spiritual blessings, where does it come from? And so we look at verse 1. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. First line you want to see, by the will of God. By the will of God. And then he goes on to say, which are Ephesus to the faithful in Christ Jesus. So a few phrases we want to pick up first. By the will of God. In Christ Jesus. And then he goes on to give a greeting, verse 2. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I think it's very clear, isn't it? What is the source of all blessings? It comes by the will of God. It is because you are in Christ Jesus. It comes from God our Father, from the Lord Jesus Christ. And then of course, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of all, Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings. There is really only one source of all blessings that we have, and that is God Himself. And then you say, hey, didn't you say we can bless one another? Yes, we can, but only through the Lord Jesus Christ, because of what God has done for us. The only reason why we, as a Christian, can bless one another is because we have already received blessings from God. He has made us a believer. He has enabled us to serve Him. And in serving Him, we serve one another. We become a blessing one to another. That is the hymn that we sang just now. Make me a blessing to someone today. How can that be possible? But only through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul is sharing. He says, now I am an apostle. I have this opportunity to serve God. Why? Because it is by the will of God. You have become saints and you are now faithful. Why? Because it is only in Christ Jesus. You can have grace and peace. These are blessings. Why? Because they come from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the blessings of service, of salvation, of sanctification, all these things come from God. He alone is the source. It was God that sent His only begotten Son onto this earth to die for our sins. God alone engineered the whole thing. He is the source of blessing. It is the Lord Jesus Christ that chose to come down to this earth, to live on this earth, to become a man, to be crucified, die for our sins. This is the blessings that the Lord Jesus Christ has given to us. And therefore we say, well, these blessings that we have, grace and peace, it is because of what God has done. It is because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. And so, of course, we must praise Him, isn't it? God alone is the source of all blessings. Well, what does that mean to us? What is the implication? You heard of the phrase, don't bite the hand that feeds you, right? Don't bite the hand that feeds you. What does that mean? It means that the one who bestows upon you blessings, the one who gives to you, will you then turn around and bite it to hurt the hand that gives you all these blessings? Now, we know it doesn't make sense, isn't it? But yet that is what we do. Although we receive so much from the Lord, we turn around and we bite Him back. We continue to rebel against Him. We continue to live lives that are not pleasing to Him. We grieve Him. And is that the life of a person who truly understands the source of all blessings? And I would say no, isn't it? It shows that we are ungrateful. We have not fully understood what God has done for us. In fact, sometimes we even use the blessing given to us and we turn around and hurt Him. Why do I say that? Sometimes we ask for certain things. And true enough, at the time when we ask, it is a sincere desire that we want something that we can serve the Lord better with, perhaps. And we ask for health, good jobs, we ask for children, we ask for a spouse. And these in itself is not wrong. We need a job to support our families. We need, right, good health. And we say, well, give me health so that I can serve you better. We ask for these things and we frame it with the right spiritual desires. But then when these things really do come to our lives, God gives us the provision that we want and we need. God gives us the life that we have asked for. What do we want? What do? We turn around and we use it against Him. Oh God, I'm so busy now, can't serve you anymore. Oh, you know, these things, now life is good, now life is comfortable, now life is well, happy in, well, the carnal sense, and then we forget God. Don't bite the hand that feeds you. Where He gives us things and then we use it in turn to sin against Him. And that is a very tragic thing, isn't it? We must realize that now these blessings that God has so graciously given to us, salvation so rich and so free, opportunities that we can serve Him, must never be taken for granted, because they can so easily be just taken away from you if you do not use it well. And we must be very careful. And so that is why, in response, Paul tells us, now when we understand these blessings, what is our response? Verse 3, blessed be God, be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We turn around and use the blessings that we have, we bless Him. We serve Him. We offer our lives as a living sacrifice to Him. And we live our lives dedicated only to Him. Now, this is a natural, gratuitous response of anyone who understands blessings, isn't it? That we are indebted to God. He has given us so much. What should we do in return? Just be on our way and say, well, thanks, God. Don't really mean it. And then just live our lives as if nothing has happened to you. We don't do that, isn't it? When we are indebted to someone, our lives will really be lived, well, for them. For example, if you were just crossing a road and there was a car hurtling towards you, well, it was a green man, but he didn't stop, and someone, a stranger, saw you. And what did he do? He responded quickly. He jumped towards you, pushed you out of the way, but he, in turn, got crushed by that speeding car. Legs were crushed, perhaps paralyzed, maybe even died for your sakes. What will you do? Oh, that's nice, thanks. And then you just carry on, you walk to the other side of the road, and then as if nothing has happened. You don't do that, isn't it? That is just completely a foreign, alien response. The rest of your life, you will remember this man. The person who saved you. The person who perhaps gave his legs, or maybe even his life for you. Now, we have received a blessing far greater than just being pushed out of a speeding car's path. We have received salvation so rich and so free. At the expense of what? The life of the Lord Jesus Christ. He died for our sins. And what is our response? Blessed with all spiritual blessings. Can we just then go on our way as if nothing has happened? We cannot. If we truly understand this, we will bless Him in return. With what? With our lives and what little we have. We know it will never be enough. We can never repay the debt that we owe to Him of all that He has done for us. But in whatever way we can, we try, isn't it? We live life pleasing to Him. Every opportunity we have, we bring glory to His name. That then becomes the objective and the goal of every Christian. That whatsoever I do, everything in my life, I do all to the glory of God. That's a response of one who has understood what the source of blessings is. It is God, and therefore my life is lived for God. And so we go on. The next thought that we must have, the source of blessings, it is God. How about the recipient of the blessing? The recipient of blessings. Understand that this applies only to believers. Who is Paul writing to? In verse 1, it tells us, I, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, who am I writing to? I write to the saints, which are at Ephesus. Saints. What is the meaning of the word saints? Really means holy, sanctified. Someone who has been set apart, someone who has been made holy. That is a saint. Meaning to say that we were once dead in trespasses and sin. Right? That's what he tells us in chapter 2. We were dead in trespasses and sins. We were entirely corrupt, sinful. We walked according to the course of this world. We walked according to the prince of the power of this air. That's the life that we used to live. But now he addresses them as saints. Someone who has received righteousness. Righteousness not of our own, but only because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. He died for our sins and His shed blood. It washes us white as snow. And now we can call ourselves a saint. A saint really just means what Christ has done for us. It's not a sort of title that is only given by the church to certain people, or because of all the good deeds that they did in their life, and so he's a very saintly man. No, this word saint applies to every single believer, everyone who has been made holy. Doesn't mean that we're perfect, of course, no. Well, we still have the propensity to sin because of our nature, but positionally, in the eyes of God, we are holy. We are pure and perfect. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ has promised that all who believe in Him, we will be made righteous. We will have His blood shed upon us. is like a cloak, a white garment He puts upon us. And that is what God will see when He judges us. That's what makes us a saint. And so He says, this is what you are. You are a saint. Why? Because you are a faithful in Christ Jesus. The second half of verse 1. That is what we are, faithful. Basically, we have exercised faith. For by grace are ye saved. For by grace are ye saved through faith. Not of yourself, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Again, that's what he tells us in Ephesians chapter 2. He will elaborate greatly deeper on what this whole salvation is all about. But suffice to say, what we are now is that we have received this faith from God. And we now believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we have. And so that sets the bounds of who receives these blessings. It is a very specific blessing given only to believers, only to Christians. Christians who have been made holy, washed by the blood of Christ. Christians who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith is what we need. Faith, I hope, is what we have. And so these are the ones who are blessed. Anyone outside of this is excluded. Right? They are not a recipient of all the blessings from God. Now, yes, on one hand, we have what they call the common grace. Right? In the sense where God has given certain things to the whole world to enjoy. He made this world. And in this world, there are unbelievers, there are believers. Right? The rain falls upon the just and the unjust. And so we have, in a sense, provision from God in the whole world for everyone to enjoy. Certain people will be given varying degrees of things like wealth, of privilege, of success. But that is not what we consider spiritual blessings. If we simply pin the idea of blessings and equate that to wealth and success and the things that the world craves for, then will it not be that seemingly many unbelievers and people that are not saints and not faithful, they seem to be so blessed, isn't it? Of course, in inverted commas. They receive so much, but is that really a blessing? I realize no, isn't it? What is a true blessing? It is what is given to the believer. That is what we have. And we must understand how rich we really are. That we have within this so-called exclusive membership, right, of Christianity, of being a believer in Christ Jesus, opened up to us is this whole array of spiritual blessings, spiritual benefits that the world simply cannot understand. They don't have access to this. But for the believer, every believer, not just certain exclusive or very holy type of believers, no, every believer has access to this. The blessings given to us from Christ. And that is what we have to realize. That is who we are. We are recipients of this special grace. Not the common grace that is upon the whole world, but the special benevolence and grace and love that God has set aside for His own. Those whom He calls His children, fellow heirs of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who are the blood-bought, where He has given His Son for us to bring us unto Himself, to bring us up to be seated together with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, accepted in the Beloved. All these wonderful blessings and all these promises, terms used to describe the believer, that is who we are, God's chosen ones. These are the recipients of the blessings, these spiritual blessings, specific blessings. But then we ask, now, exactly how will you elaborate on these blessings? What is the nature of these blessings, spiritual blessings in heavenly places? Let's zoom in on verse 3 and help us to understand, really. Now, when we talk about blessings, what do we really mean? Right, verse 2 and 3. Look at verse 2. Two simple ideas brought forth, and these are really ideas that, you know, Paul uses numerous times throughout his epistles, but so precious, so important truths. He does not just say it as a sort of a platitude where he doesn't mean it. No, he really understands, and with the full force and impact of these two words, he greets us with them. He says, what? Grace be to you. You have grace. What grace? Grace that has been given to us from the Lord Jesus Christ and from God the Father. grace, merits, favors, blessings that we do not deserve. And truly, that is what a Christian has, isn't it? We don't deserve it. Nothing that we did ever earned these blessings, no. It is what has been freely given to us by God. That is what grace is. And do we have it? Yes. Every believer, we have grace, abundant grace, infinite grace, grace that cannot be measured or numbered, because these are riches of His grace that has been given to us. We have it. And so He says, grace, all this unmerited favor has been given to you. You never did anything to deserve it, but yet God just freely poured it down to you. And what is it? Peace is one major aspect of this. What peace are we talking about here? It is a peace that has been wrought between us and God. Reconciliation is the word that the Bible would use. Whereas we were once enemies, we are now peace with the Lord Jesus Christ and with God. It is not just taking away the enmity. It is not just that we are no longer enemies. That is sometimes how the world uses the word peace. It's really just a fragile ceasefire, right? You keep talking, oh, let us bring about peace in the Middle East. But will there ever be peace? True peace, where there is not just a cessation of our enmity, but there is now a firmly, strongly established relationship where there is nothing but good favor between the two parties. That is what has happened between God and us, where we were once enmity with God, we were enemies with God, and now, through what He has done, through the Lord Jesus Christ, He welcomes us and He says, I love you. I love you. Can we imagine that? That is the peace that that has been wrought in us. That is the peace that has been given to us, only made possible because our sins have been forgiven. And these are great blessings, isn't it? And so He goes on to say in verse 3, you are so blessed. We are so blessed. Blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. The first thought we want to draw from this, and with regards to the nature of blessings, is that it is spiritual. Spiritual in nature. And that is a thing that I've been mentioning a number of times. Right? Spiritual in nature. Meaning to say that these blessings are applied to the spiritual realm. That is the bounds in which these blessings exist. And so, well, very clearly, then it excludes the physical, isn't it? Right? We are not talking about money. We're not talking about wealth and jobs and all these things. These are really not part of the equation. It's not part of it. Yes, sometimes God will choose to give us certain things which we can use for this world. Provisions that we can feed our families and keep ourselves healthy and good strength. But it is for the purpose of our spiritual relationship. If it is not used for that purpose, then what's the point, isn't it? But the Bible tells us now the blessings that you receive, it is spiritual in nature, given to us by the Holy Spirit. And it is with regards to our new life that we have in Christ. And so this will refer, of course, to our salvation. That is a spiritual blessing. Whereas we were away enemy, apart from Christ, not part of the commonwealth of Israel. Now we are drawn in and we are now part of God's family. Salvation. And so everything about our lives have been changed. We are now a new creature. All things are passed away, all things have become new. And that is a huge blessing that has happened. I hope in every one of us here. Spiritual blessing. But it is not just there, but it extends over into our sanctification, isn't it? Because that is the new spiritual life that we have. This ability that we have now to worship God, to praise God. This ability that we have now to live a holy life for Him. Whereas in the past we could do nothing but sin, isn't it? It's not to say that we were serial killers and terrible criminals, but it's that nothing that we did in our life was ever for God. It was all for ourselves. And so there was no way in which we could do anything for God. But now that we are saved, we can. That is a life of our sanctification, where more and more we turn towards God and away from the world. More and more, our lives are conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ.
And our life is lived for Him. That is sanctification. That is what He does for us. It is not something that we do just simply out of our sheer determination and discipline. No, sanctification is also something that has been given to us. It is a blessing bestowed upon us. And so God will equip us with tools that we can use in this journey of sanctification, of service. He'll grant us spiritual gifts, blessings that we can use in the service of the Lord. And that is what we ought to be focusing our attention on. Not to always be seeking all these material things, but really seeking the spiritual. To daily ask and consider, how can I be of more use to the Lord? How can I better exercise the blessings that has been given to me? Spiritual blessings. And these really far exceed anything that the world can offer, isn't it? Because these are gifts born to us by God Himself. He gives us all these things. And so we have to ask ourselves, no, really, what is the content of our prayers? What is it that we really seek from God? Daily, what would we ask and seek for? What is the motivation and the purpose behind all these requests? Because there are many things that we want in this life. Are they pertaining to spiritual blessings? Because we may clothe our requests in these sort of terminology. Lord, bless me with this and bless me with that. But are they really blessings that God wants to give us? Because we must realize that the contents of our prayers will only be answered if it is done in accordance to the will of God. If it is just our own carnal desires, our own physical wants and needs, have we ever asked ourselves, now why would God want to give us these things? If we were to receive these things and then turn around and use it against Him. But if our motivation and desire is one who has truly understood what blessings are all about, what does it mean to receive something from God? Then the directions of our prayers will be towards that, isn't it? Bless me. Yes, okay, I want good health. Why? So that I have the strength to serve God. Isn't that the case? Bless me and grant me all more opportunities for service. Help me to stay away from sin. Help me to lead a life that is pleasing to You. And then You can share Your struggles, Lord. Now I've been having certain difficulties, struggles over this and that area. Maybe my heart has been discontent. Maybe there are certain lusts that I'm striving after. Maybe certain materialisms that I have been seeking for. And You ask the Lord, help me. And He will. And that is the blessing that He can give to us. Spiritual blessings pertaining to our spiritual lives, aiding us on our journey of salvation, sanctification, of service to Him. These are spiritual blessings that we ask for. And He tells us, now these are spiritual blessings, and before that, He adds one little word in front of it. He says what? All spiritual blessings. All spiritual blessings. And we have this idea that these are all-encompassing sort of blessings. Let me take a step back and think about our lives. And realize that now, God is in control of every single thing in our lives, isn't it? It's planned by Him, crafted by Him. We are created. We are described later on in chapter 2 as His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Right? That is then the purpose and the goal of every believer, that we should walk in this way. Workmanship is created in Christ Jesus. And so He molds us. Everything about our life, He controls. And we also know promises that say that now everything in our lives, it works together for good, right? And so can we then say that everything that God does for me in my life, is that really a blessing? And so when we say all spiritual blessings, we must realize that we must thank God not just for the so-called good things that we receive. I mean, tendency is very natural to do that. Oh, thank God for this and that good things. When things are going good in our life, we are very quick to give testimony and say, well, thank God. I was sick, but now I'm healed. Thank God. He's given me strength and help and good health and these sort of things. But how about when there are the not so good things that happen? Calamities, trials in our lives. He says, blessed be God for what? Not just the good things that we receive in this life and the things that I enjoy. No, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed us with all spiritual blessings. And we realize that spiritual blessings also includes trials. Spiritual blessings also include difficulties that will drive us to our knees and help us and realize to see our spiritual need and our desire for the Lord Jesus Christ. These are things that we must be able to thank God for as well, because we must realize that the scope of spiritual blessings is wide-ranging. We don't understand the mind of God. Oftentimes things happen and we can't fully understand. You may ask now, how does this crippling disease become a spiritual blessing? How, Lord, when I am facing such economic difficulties and you take away my job and then this trial comes and I simply cannot support my family, how is this a blessing, God? Well, it is. It is. By faith, we have to understand. By faith, we have to be able to say, blessed be God, because of all these things that you have done in my life, I know it is for my good, for my spiritual good. And oftentimes we have heard so many testimonies, isn't it? And life was comfortable, life was good, I was fine, distant from the Lord. But then something happened in my life. And I realized I was a sinner, I was backsliding, I was so far from the Lord. And because of this or that trial, I was forced to my knees and I came back to the Lord. And we must be able to thank God for all these things as well, because they all come under the scope of all these spiritual blessings. And that's what Paul says, we glory in tribulations also, isn't it? Knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. That's what James tells us also, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations. That is what Paul understood when he had that thorn in the flesh, and he prayed that God will take it away, and God says, no. But my grace is sufficient for thee. And his response was that, oh, more gladly will I suffer all these difficulties, these tribulations. Because then is your strength evident in my life, made perfect in my weakness. And that is what the church at Ephesus, perhaps they experienced as well. The first few months of Paul's ministry in there was relatively easy. He was allowed to preach and teach at the synagogue. But gradually opposition mounted and he was forced to go out of the synagogue and establish his own school to teach. Things seemed well, the word of God was prospering and mightily grew. But then over time, opposition grew. Opposition also started to mount, such that there was this whole riot, this uprising, where the whole city rose in opposition against Paul. They wanted his blood. And they gathered at the amphitheater in Ephesus, and for hours and hours they shouted, great is the temple of Diana, and down with the Lord Jesus Christ. Away with these Christians, we don't want them in our midst. And Paul had to go into hiding. And he had to run away from the city that he spent so many years serving in. And you can be sure that the next few years, they would go under intense, difficult persecution. But Paul wrote to them and said, now you bless God because of all these things that have happened to you. Is it a good thing? Yes. Can we thank God for them? Yes. Because they are all spiritual blessings. Sometimes we are afraid of difficulties. We shirk all these hardships. And sometimes when we shy away from any difficulty in our lives, you know, maybe what we are doing, we are also turning away from the spiritual blessings that could be had. If we go through this experience, we rely on the Lord Jesus Christ, we lean on Him, and a lot more blessings can be had. And so He tells us, now you bless Him because of all the spiritual blessings. And one final clause that we want to look into is that it is in heavenly places. In heavenly places. And as much as spiritual was contrasted to physical, heavenly places is contrasted with earthly, isn't it? Heavenly places, this speaks about what? The heavenly realm, eternity, the dwelling place of God. That is where our spiritual blessings are stored up in. But the Lord Jesus Christ tells us, now you lay not up for yourselves treasures on this earth. Because these are what? These are the physical things that moth and rust doth corrupt and thieves break in and steal. But what must our focus and attention be on? We lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust doth not corrupt and thieves cannot break in and steal. It tells in Colossians 3 that, you know, if you be risen in Christ, then you have set your affection on what? Things above and not things of the earth. And then you'll truly be able to value these nature of the spiritual blessings that are in heavenly places. Heavenly blessings that are pertaining to eternity. Pertaining to the things that will last forever and ever. And it really goes back to the same ideas of salvation, of sanctification, of your relationship and your walk with God, because these are what will last us. Earthly things, physical things. I mean, they're just here for a season and then they're passed away. I mean, if you think about it, can God grant us everything and anything that we desire here on earth? Is it easy for Him? I mean, He can, isn't it, if He wants to? I mean, if he wants to, it is not difficult for Him to make every one of us multi-millionaires, isn't it? I mean, just a snap of a finger. He can just give it to us in whatever way He deems necessary. But is that really good for us? Is that really a blessing in heavenly places that will last us for eternity, that will help us on in our spiritual journey with Him? And more often than not, it's not, isn't it? What will we do with all these things? How will our lives change? And more, it's very likely that if we were given a sudden windfall, we won't know how to cope with it. Our lives will just turn into a life of sloth, of vice, of excess, splurging and enjoying all the pleasures of this world, the sin of this world. But if we are given blessings that are pertaining to our heavenly existence, a place that we are already in, because later on in chapter 2, He tells us that when we were saved, we were made to be raised together with Him and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ. Same phrase here, in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It is a position that we have already ascended to at the point of time of our salvation. We are now citizens of heaven already. And our lives must reflect that. And the blessings that He gives us are pertaining to that existence, to that new life that we have as a citizen, as a member of the kingdom of God. And that is the nature of the blessings that have been given to us, useful for our eternal citizenship in heaven. And that is what we really look forward to, isn't it? That is where our affections are set. That is what the Christian desires above all things. A life, an existence, a relationship, a walk with God and our Lord Jesus Christ. That is why it is all only found in Christ. The final clause that we see, the means to attain these blessings, simply put, it is only through Christ. Right? He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, and all only because of what Christ has done for us. It is all because we are in and through Christ. And back to the same idea. Who are the recipients of these blessings? It is anyone that is in Christ. And so as believers, as one who calls ourselves as one in Christ, it is something that we must all understand. We must all realize that we are rich, far richer than anything that this world has to offer. A person who is penniless, a person who has nothing to his name, no bank account, no home to call of his own. But if he is in Christ, he is far richer than the richest king, richest ruler, richest multimillionaire CEO in this world, because he has Christ. And that is what we have to understand about our lives as well. We are filled with all spiritual blessing, riches of His glory in Christ Jesus. What we have to be very assured of is that we are, at least, we are for one, a recipient of these blessings. We are in Christ Jesus. And then having received all these things, how will we then respond? Will our lives be lived for Christ, the one who has given us all these things? Or will our lives be just lived, waste, excess, doing nothing for the cause of Christ, but everything for the cause of this world? If that be the case, then maybe we are not yet in Christ, but we are still walking according to the cause of this world. We are still dead in our trespasses and sins. Because one who is truly in Christ, we ought to understand the true nature of all these spiritual blessings that we have, and our lives really ought to change. Let's turn to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the abundance of these spiritual blessings that we have in heavenly places in Christ. Help us to truly understand what it is all about. And then help us to live our lives reflecting the blessings that we have already received. We pray that Thou help us, guide us, mold us, and use us to not just be a recipient of these blessings, but then also that we can be a blessing to the people around us, and our lives will be to Thy blessing as well. We thank Thee for this morning. Pray Thou guide us through the rest of this worship service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.